Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020, 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. Would all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Presente.
Mr. Reynolds? Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present. Yeah, I did hear from Mr. Reynolds that he wasn't going to be joining us this evening, so I was aware of that. So we move on to our agenda this evening. We have a public hearing, and prior to our regular agenda item, City Council will conduct this public hearing to accept public comment concerning a privately proposed zoning map amendment request from Creek Investors LLC and Exchange 9 LLC, requesting the rezoning of parcels of land located at 2105 Creek Road from RR, which is Rural Residential Zoning District, to R-RC, Residential Retirement Complex Zoning District. In connection with the second public hearing, there are two communications which I will ask the clerk to read. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, stating that at their March 12, 2020 meeting, the City Planning Commission voted against supporting the privately proposed zoning ordinance map amendment to rezone two parcels located at 2105 Creek Road in the City of Bethlehem from RR Rural Residential to RRC Residential Retirement Complex Zoning District.
And Communication 6B.
A memorandum from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission commenting on the privately proposed zoning ordinance map amendment to rezone two parcels located at 2105 Creek Road from RR Rural Residential to RRC Residential Retirement Complex Zoning District. The memo states that the rezoning proposal is generally inconsistent with the county comprehensive plan because it's located entirely within a high conservation priority area of the natural resources plan. The LVPC also offered additional comments to the proposed amendment. The subject property is located entirely within a federal emergency management floodway, where the proposed zoning for age-restricted residential development does not minimize environmental impact. Additionally, development in the floodway and flood zone may also conflict with FEMA standards for critical facilities housing population with limited mobility. The location is in a floodplain, does not incorporate resiliency and hazard mitigation in the planning and design, including in the 100 and 500-year floodplain, as the proposal would create housing for lower mobility population, which may increase hazards during flooding events and create propensity for flooding losses. They also stated that emergency responses related to inclement weather may be hampered by the location. There are additional comments and observations in the letter.
Thank you. The public hearing is now called to order concerning this privately proposed zoning request. Before I recognize the petitioner, I just wanted to make a note about our YouTube stream. At our last meeting, we had a few folks who were unable to call in during public comment, and our IT department troubleshot and was unable to reproduce any issues on our end, but I think we might have a potential issue as to why that could have been happening. If people are not joining or viewing the YouTube stream at the exact moment where it's live, there could be a delay of a few seconds or a few minutes if they're starting viewing their YouTube feed a little bit later than the actual start of the meeting, and it would lag consistently throughout the entire meeting. So if you're catching this message, I encourage you to make sure that you're sliding that bar all the way to the right so you're in fact viewing live, and then you should get my call to my request to call in during the public hearing and both public comment periods, which was the issue last council meeting, I believe, is that people were getting my call a little bit too late. By that point, we had moved on and our phone was on Do Not Disturb. The other great way to avoid that is to sign up ahead of time which would give me your name and contact information, and I can call out to you. We do have a few names on that list, and that's done by emailing the clerk prior to council meetings to get your name on that list, and that's a great workaround for that. So, as we move on here with our public hearing, I will recognize the petitioner and his representatives to discuss the proposed rezoning request.
Thank you. Bill Arden with Keystone Consulting Engineers. I will be leading the presentation. Since I'm not able to see everybody, I'm going to mention who I believe is on, starting with Abe Atiyah. And I believe Priya T is on. Abe Atiyah is the owner of the property, and Priya would be involved in the operation if the project were to go forward. Sue Candle is the site engineer, and Gene Berg is the architectural consultant and will be providing some information toward the end of the presentation. As was just mentioned, it's a request to rezone from RR to RRC in order to permit a 40-unit senior retirement building with 20 single-family, 20 single-bedroom, and 22-bedroom units. If you look on page 5, and I know you all have the packets, it shows you the specific location, which is the intersection of Friedensville and Creek Roads. So you can see where it's located on that map very easily. If you look at the site plan on page, and I am jumping numbers here because there's a number of documents that I don't think we need to necessarily take time to look at, but if members of council would have questions, we can go back to those. If you move to page 18, that's the site plan, which gives you a pretty good indication of the project. I just picked up on the fact that the LVPC said it's in the floodway. It's not in the floodway, it's in the floodplain. It is adjacent to the floodway, but not in the floodplain. If you also look at that site plan, you can get a sense of the relatively non-intense development in the sense that it's an extremely large project. We recognize that it's a lot of floodplain, but if you look at the property of the hall and look at what's proposed on it, it's a very, very minimal amount of impervious and a very minimal amount of proposal involved. So that large area, as I'll refer to later, is one of the things that gives us the benefit because that allows for grade adjustments to mitigate the impacts of a floodplain encroachment. The ordinance does allow encroachments, not in the floodway, but in the floodplain, but then there's a provision that you have to mitigate those impacts, and by having such an extremely long property, large property, we have quite a bit to work with to be able to mitigate that, for example, through cuts and fills that could mitigate it so that it would be compliant with the zoning ordinance, basically saying you cannot increase the base flood elevation. The project, in very simple terms, is filling a community need for senior living facilities. In that regard, I took the time to go through the comprehensive plan, and I just want to make reference to two things in the comprehensive plan that I think are very important to the consideration. The first one is that it makes reference in the comprehensive plan that the demographics in the city are growing over age 65. It also refers to affordable housing. I noticed in both cases where it refers to affordable housing and the need to provide housing and facilities, it doesn't specifically mention seniors, and recognizing that the city of Bethlehem is growing in terms of age, there's going to be more and more people looking for facilities such as senior apartments within the city so they can pretty much retire where they've been the whole time. Kind of leads to the question of why this property. And for starters, I'll say it's the only property in the city that is zoned RRC that is not occupied, or excuse me, that would be occupied. All the other RRC zones are already occupied, they're developed, which means there's no place else in the city with the current zoning to put this type of facility. There are also no privately owned properties with a minimum area of 10 acres in what I'll call the urban area, which is one of the requirements. So again, it limits the potential for such a use to that specific property. And we think that's a very important consideration. As everybody, I think, is aware, the Lehigh Valley has experienced significant growth, and as a result, and I've been in this business over 40-some years, I'm seeing more and more that properties that are maybe not exactly the best property or the ideal property are being developed. It's quite frankly, there's not much left. And as I just indicated, there's a very limited ability to put this type of facility anywhere in the city, at least in the urban area. The proximity to Saucon Valley Manor cannot be underestimated because that allows for the synergy between the two locations. So, for example, somebody could be in the senior living facility and move into Saucon Valley Manor, or there could be a spouse in the senior living and someone else in the Saucon Valley Manor. So there's going to be a lot of synergy between the two locations. And as I indicated earlier, it's at the intersection of Freeman's and Creek Road, which means it's in very, very close proximity to the Saucon Valley Manor. As far as the salient points of the proposal, I think there's some things that I should highlight. It does meet the minimum lot area of 10 acres. As I said earlier, there are really no properties of 10 acres or more available other than this one that would allow for this type of use if, in fact, it was rezoned. The building will be compliant with the maximum number of stories of 4. And a maximum height of 45 feet, no question about that. There's no impervious coverage limitation. There is a building coverage limitation of 25%. The building on this property that's proposed will have a coverage of 3.3%, which kind of emphasizes my earlier comment about the very, very minimal use that's being proposed on the property. For those that are familiar with the property, you know there's an existing house on it. That existing house is going to be used for limited medical and support services for the main building. So that will remain, be renovated, and serve as what I'll call a support building for the main building. I know early in the discussion, I think Darlene raised this question in one of the letters early on about the ability to put additional improvements on the property, particularly since, as I've mentioned several times, it's a very minimal proposal. The applicant has absolutely no intent to put anything further, and if necessary, that could be put in a covenant on the deed to preclude any additional development. So what you're seeing on this plan would be the ultimate of anything that would appear on this plan. Floodplain issues are a big one to be discussed, and as I mentioned earlier, it's not in the floodway, and that's extremely critical because being in the floodway would be a violation. Being the floodplain, although may not necessarily desirable, but as I said earlier, sometimes you have to turn properties that maybe not the most desirable, but it does permit construction in the floodplain, providing that you mitigate the impacts on the base flood elevation. As far as the facilities themselves, whether it's the building or the parking lot, they will be constructed above the floodplain elevation. They will have all the necessary flood proofing required by the zoning ordinance. And an example of that, I'll jump ahead here, but if you look on page 23, you will see the Sacred Heart Senior Living, which is probably about as close to this project as you can get because it's exactly the same thing. It sits almost wholly within the floodplain. And in visiting the site, you can see that they basically filled the floodplain in order to raise the building and parking lots up out of the floodplain, left the rest of the property undisturbed, and that's the concept of this. So number one, the base flood impacts would be mitigated. And number two, the buildings and facilities would be constructed with the necessary flood proofing, in addition to the fact that it would be above 100-year flood. Traffic considerations, I know there's concerns about that. I think some of the residents expressed concern about the vehicles on Creek Road that wouldn't be there. I guess for starters, I would say that this type of use has very, very minimal traffic. You can appreciate that seniors in apartments are not going to be driving all that much, but when they do, they're probably likely to drive in the off hours. So even if there's a peak traffic on Creek Road, the likelihood of them joining that traffic is very unlikely, given the fact that in a lot of cases they have the freedom to come and go when they want to. The driveway is going to be located close to West Water Street in order to mitigate any of the impacts of that traffic. So that traffic will be leaving the main roadway and Freedomsville, whichever one you want to call it, and going to the driveway, which is in close proximity. So they're not going to be traversing up along the remaining properties that are on the other side of the road. There's also proposal, not the details on there at this point, but there's going to be a lot of walkways and trails which are going to serve a number of purposes. Number one, to provide amenities for the seniors to be able to walk around the property and be able to get exercise and things like that. In addition, by connecting to the sidewalk system, it will also allow them to access the urban areas. For example, there's a Lambda bus stop over on Hellertown Road. If need be, they could walk to the bus stop and use the bus and so forth. So that's one of the major benefits. That walkway and trail system will be worked out very closely with the city staff and Planning Commission and Council ultimately to make sure that that's providing all the benefit that it possibly can. Environmental considerations, although it's kind of obvious, I'll just touch on those. It will be necessary to get an NPDES permit, and anybody that has been through that process knows that it's extremely long, arduous process where you have a number of things that are researched in terms of environmental impacts, and we will have to satisfy those requirements without a doubt. Something called the PINDI, if you're not familiar with that, is a Pennsylvania Diversity Index inventory which identifies what's on the property. Whatever's identified has to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form. So from that standpoint, there's going to be a lot of work required to address those, whatever's identified when the project is being developed. DEP and the City Floodplain Administrator will be very involved in this because of the necessary permits and approvals, particularly as it relates to the floodplain. There's requirements in the ordinance that will be reviewed very thoroughly as part of the review process for the land development. With that, I was going to turn it over to Gene. I know there's concerns with the neighbors about what I'll call the aesthetics or the impact of the facility since the multi-story building. I believe Gene has some information that at least we feel is very compelling to indicate that the concern these people have with this quote-unquote large building that's going to be very visible to them and create issues is not going to be the case. There's more than ample screening and proposed screening, and with that, I'll ask Gene to pick up the ball and go forward.
Okay, if you could take a look at your page 18 to start, which is that's the site plan. Our proposal will save the residential natural character of Creek Road. Very few, if any, trees will be cut down for the proposed development, and that is because the building and the parking lot are proposed at the location of the present horse corral, which is open field. There will be no development, tree cutting, or earth moving within the floodway, which comprises the two-third majority of the site adjacent to the creek. If you could switch to page 20, you will see a rendering. I'm sorry, make that page... Yes, page 20. So for the first 10 to 15 feet off of Creek Road, you're going to leave the existing trees as a buffer. And then directly behind the existing trees, we are proposing a robust, tall, evergreen tree buffer between Creek Road and the parking lot. If you will switch to page 22 of your exhibit package. So there are twin residences which are located directly across the road, and the densely developed Society Hill apartments are further west along Friedensville Road. Furthermore, on that page 22, you see Google Street Views that show that the adjacent neighbors across Creek Road already have significant evergreen tree buffers on their property, which shield their view of Creek Road, let alone what is across Creek Road. So considering the combination of both our evergreen tree buffer and the neighbors' evergreen tree buffers, none of the neighbors will see the building. If you go to back to page 20 again. Our south elevation profile demonstrates that our mature 30-foot tall evergreen tree buffer will completely screen the neighbors' views of the building. It shows a section through the site from the neighbors uphill looking across Creek Road and our trees, you know, towards our building. You want to now switch to page 19, which is a color rendering of the project. As you can see from the rendering, the building will have a residential appearance with a 312 slope shingled roof A-frame gables, stone and cement board siding facades detailed with trim boards around the windows. The building is designed as a high-class, high-end retirement community apartment building, which aligns with our comprehensive care levels at the nearby Sonic Valley Manor on Main Street in Hellertown. There will be no flat rubber roofs in the building, no mechanical equipment on rooftops. This building is designed to look residential and fit in with the surrounding neighborhood. Switch back to page 18, which is the site plan. You'll see, as Bill had mentioned, the driveway is proposed as far south as possible, as close to the Friedensville Road or West Water Street, as you might call it, to keep any car traffic limited to the very end of Creek Road, close to Friedensville Road. And now back to page 19. Sorry for all the switches, but it's good to try to illustrate as I saw. The proposed apartment building is designed as an independent living community, housing retired people an average age of 70 to 75 years old. The site is designed to provide a park-like setting with delightful nature trails through the existing forest down to the edge of the Sopping Creek. These trails would provide the opportunity for elderly residents to go for a stroll, observe nature, sit in a park bench, and go fishing. When you factor in the recreation of the walking trails and fishing in the adjacent Saucon Creek, the development will be one of the nicest independent living communities in the Lehigh Valley. Bill also had mentioned that Sacred Heart Senior Living by the Creek shows that a senior independent living facility is perfectly appropriate adjacent to a creek. And this is an example of the exact same type of development next to a creek, which functions beautifully. As Bill also mentioned, the existing house will be renovated for a visiting doctor to provide limited health care to satisfy the requirements of the RRC zone and the needs of the elderly people who are staying at the facility. And finally, at this stage, you know, with the rezoning, we would anticipate no variances in order to develop the project as proposed to you tonight.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to present at this time?
I think I've made my presentation.
Yeah, if I could just close with council's indulgence, just to summarize what I think is a very important point. As I mentioned earlier, the comprehensive plan makes reference to the aging population. I would ask that council view this project, although not the ideal property, as a very essential need in the city to allow people that are aging, that want to age in place, want to remain within the city, be able to rent a very affordable apartment, that they can remain in the city and have, as I said earlier, the synergy with Sopping Valley Manor. So I'd like you to consider that from the standpoint of the need of the community, and specifically the senior community, which, as indicated in the comprehensive plan, as everybody's recognizing, our society is aging and these people are looking for affordable places to live, and this would provide that service and that availability to those senior citizens.
Thank you. Is anything else from the petitioner?
Nothing from my standpoint. Abe, I don't know if you want
to. Yes. I'd like to add, good evening, everyone. Thanks for hearing us. My professional architect and engineer presented the engineering facts of the project. The core base of the facts are that the city of Bethlehem doesn't have any affordable independent living. They have Moravian Village, which is very expensive. You need to buy to get in. And then Kirkland Village has built independent living, and it's, you know, $6,000 a month to live there, plus a buy-in fee. Okay? You cannot find affordable blue-collar independent living in the whole city. Nobody's building them. Hanover Township up near Wegmans, they have one, they actually have two near Wegmans in Hanover Township, and they're building another assisted living up in Hanover Township. City of Bethlehem residents that can't afford Kirkland Village or Moravian Village are leaving the city. You're losing them. There's Holy Family Manor has a little bit, mostly their independents are going to the Catholic priests. So I look at, our company, my daughter and my wife, we're the largest personal care providers in Lehigh Valley. We're now venturing into the independent living market, which is what mostly the new baby boomers are coming in. And Saucon Valley Manor, we built our first independent living there. It's 40 rooms. It's almost like this, but it's studios and one bedrooms. And we had a lot of people from the Saucon Valley region, wealthier people, that say that the rooms are a little bit too small. So we designed this building to have bigger one bedrooms and big two bedrooms that are more for people that are healthier but still want to be in the independent living process. And the existing house that there is going to be for medical services, a little clubhouse, and we're going to deliver meals from Saucon Valley Manor to all 40 of our rooms here. If a resident doesn't want to cook, we'll bring the meals over to a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because a lot of people just like being independent, and a lot of people are just tired of cooking. So we feel that this is actually the nicest location in Lehigh Valley to live if you want affordable independent living. You're not in a big continuum care retirement community on 50 acres, you know, or like Kirkland Village, or you don't want to be in Moravian Village in a huge campus with all. This is 40 units and a quaint. It's probably, the nicest area at all in the city of Bethlehem is this area by Lehigh University. You know, it's just a beautiful place to live. And, you know, you have the twin homes next to us, which are $800,000 to $1 million homes. They're beautiful. Next to that is apartments that J.B. Raleigh built. There's a four-story apartment buildings. Across from that is Society Hill, which Society Hill was basically built as a condo community that is age-restricted. I think it is. It's 55 and up. There's a lot of people. Society Hills, I think, is not age-restricted, but behind Society Hills is another retirement community. Forgot the name of it. They're all ranched one story. It said that's an active adult retirement community. If anybody remembers the name of that, that's behind Society Hills. This particular area is an ideal place to live because of the democracy. Okay, and I mean, it's Saucon Creek. I'm thinking the other way, but it, because of Saucon and the park system, the rails, the trails that takes you right into the city of Bethlehem, the beautiful borough of Hallertown. The extreme Lehigh University campus, wow, you know, what a place to live. You know, and most people, I can tell you 80% of the people in the city of Bethlehem cannot afford your current independent living project. They don't have it. They don't have the resources to go into Kirkland and Moravian Village with the buy-ins and those high rates you're charging. This is an opportunity for council and me as a developer to provide only 40 units, and we're only developing 3% of 10 acres. Can you imagine that? 3% of 10 acres is being developed in a sensitive area with a beautiful stream, a beautiful walk, and a nice quaint neighborhood. And this is a perfect location for an independent living. I know the neighbors that are coming yell and complain, and they don't want a four-story building, but, you know, it's a matter of their mothers, their parents could be living in the buildings right across the street from them. You know, this is an area where independent living people are actually from age 75 up to 95 now. We have people that are on campus at Saucon that are independents that are 92 years old, that a few of them are driving. You know, it's like, why not? Why not serve the aging population? One important thing is this 10 acres, if rezoned RRC, would be the only available RRC zoning. In the past, there's some council members here, and I know Jack Sprick was way back, and Darlene, and Olga knows too, with all the rezoning that's been going on here, that you all have been doing great with rezoning requests for retirement communities. You're doing great, but there's nothing left. There's nowhere else you have the RRC zone. It's a great zone specific for retirement communities. This is the opportunity to provide one in the whole south side of Bethlehem. The nearest RRC zone to this site is Moravian Village. You got to go all the way across the bridge, Moravian Village, and next is the Presbyterian Project of Kirkman Village. Holy Family Manor has it. It's a great zone, and according to all municipalities, it's the best tax use. We're taxable. We provide jobs. We take care of your elderly. And we also no impact to your school district. And there's no traffic impact. We're not bringing back the trailers in here. It's a lot of time. I think it's a no-brainer. And it's easy and it's serving. And we're not gonna mess around. We have the DEP to deal with and all the MPDS problems. But that's a good thing to live by a street. I love to live by water. You could walk out to the street. You could feed the deer. You could fish. You could walk. Water is one of the healthiest things for the mind. If you watch a fountain, you know, it's very mindful and it's healing and it's healthy. Green grass, deer, walking paths, beautiful mature trees, Lehigh University campus. Where else would you want to live? I think it's a perfect location. I'd like to be able to rebut when all the neighbors come on, if possible, Jack, I'd like to comment, because a lot of the neighbors that are living next door moved in to a community that was right next to a four-story apartment complex. They came in after the fact. So right next door to all my neighbors that are really screaming and yelling about this, and I respect them all, there's a lot of very successful neighbors, and it's a beautiful community. I respect them all, but I truly want the council to understand, when they moved in, there was a four-story apartment complex right next door to them that they looked out at and saw. And they looked across the road and they saw an open field and a stream and all that. And now all of a sudden there's going to be a four-story building in there. I would be upset too. They have a right to be upset. And I, you know, in a sense, I would, if I were a neighbor, I would be out today too. I would be on this call, but I would say, what's going there? It's an independent living building. It's residential in nature. It's buffer and screened, like my architect mentioned. It's only disturbing 3% of a 10-acre site. We're serving a population, which could be your parents. So, I wasn't at the last planning commission meeting for medical reasons. I didn't go. But I'm here for the long haul here. We have Bethel Manor on Pennsylvania Avenue. We provide affordable personal care to the city of Bethlehem. We're just opening Bethlehem Manor 2, which is on Market Street. We bought Blau Nursing Home, affordable personal care in the city. Okay? We're here to stay. We're working on Center and Dewberry. You know, we're trying a grocery store. If it doesn't work out, we have other options. But we love the city. We're here to stay. And this use is something that's our core business. We have 400 some employees. And the Latino and Latina population in Southside Bethlehem works at Saucon Valley Manor and Bethlehem Manor. We support the whole Southside workforce. I think of our workforce, of our 350 employees, I think 225 are Latinos or Latinas. We have a good Latino population that goes to Saucon. They go to Bethlehem Manor from South Bethlehem. The employees here, we're hoping we would support the employees that come out of South Bethlehem. So we're trying to, we have a great workforce. City of Bethlehem has an excellent workforce. Parkland Manor, I'm struggling out there getting staff. It's so far out there, and, you know, we're having trouble staffing Parkland Manor. But, you know, all our Bethlehem projects are very easy to staff with good working class people. So we feel the nature of the construction, the stone, the wood, and everybody gets a deck. We're going to be as compatible with the neighborhood as the apartments that are on the other side of the building. And for council to look at this project and say, it's going to be a beautiful project. It's going to serve the community, limited traffic, you know, and for maybe 15 or 20 neighbors next door to affect the future of 40 independent little couples or singles in this building. Would sort of be not productive for supporting our Bethlehem citizens. And I would say probably 30 the 32 people in this building are going to be Bethlehemites moving here because you can't find anything in the city on affordable independent. So I want to thank council. If you have any questions, I'm available to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Atiyya. I don't know if there's anything else you or your group would like to add at this time before I turn it over to hear from the city administration.
Nothing here.
I have no further comments either.
Thank you. At this point, I'll turn to Darlene Heller, City of Bethlehem's Director of Planning and Zoning.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Heller.
Okay. Thank you. You have the memo, I believe, that we sent to the Planning Commission. We describe their reasons that we recommended that the Planning Commission not support the proposal. And most significantly, it is because it's within the 100-year floodplain area. We completely redid the zoning ordinance in 2012, and there were some big picture ideas that we wanted to advance at the time. One was to allow more density and more flexibility in the core of the city, and the other then was to protect our natural areas, the steep slopes, the wooded areas, and the floodplain areas, the outlying areas, and protect the existing neighborhoods. And so this would be an area where, we consider this to be an environmentally sensitive area. And that's really the reason that it makes it an attractive piece of property, but it is an environmentally sensitive area. It's zoned rural residential. It's the lowest density zoning district that we have. We allow single family detached homes there. The maximum building coverage is 15%. The maximum impervious coverage that's permitted is 50%. In the RRC zoning district, 25% building coverage is permitted, and there is no maximum impervious coverage. They've noted that they are going to be well below what's permitted in RRC, but still, the zoning district would allow for a significantly greater amount of development. Much of the parcel is located in the floodway, and so it's completely undevelopable. Even in the floodplain, there are uses that are prohibited. They're expressly prohibited. One of them is a nursing home, and I will note they're not proposing a nursing home, but it is senior housing. Some of the residents may be of limited mobility. It's really not an ideal location for that kind of development. Also, in a floodplain area, we would want to minimize impacts. So one of those would be minimizing the amount of impervious coverage. The project shows 60 total parking spaces in the development. Our ordinance would require 28 spaces, less than half, for that type of development. So there really needs to be shown that there is some goal to really try to be sensitive to the environmental nature of the property. I'd also comment on a couple of things that the applicants noted in their presentation. The comprehensive plan is something that we obviously look at pretty regularly also. It does talk about the growing senior population, and it continues to grow. It does talk about our growing need for affordable housing, and I would acknowledge that's true also. But the comprehensive plan also spends quite a bit of time talking about environmental conservation and compatibility of uses, and those things need to be balanced out as well. I think that senior housing certainly is the use that we want to accommodate in the city. It's most appropriately accommodated in the core of the city, where seniors would be able to use public transit. They're in a more walkable area. They might not need the car as much. A variety of uses would be available to them. So I would agree that we want to support senior housing, but we want to do it in a location where maybe it's more appropriate. There's not much land left in the city, that's true. We try to encourage development, and we still try to do that at the core of the city. We have some abandoned properties. We have opportunities for adaptive reuse. There's opportunities in the core of the city, and that's really where we want to encourage new development to occur. So those are some of the things that we're looking at. We still stand with our recommendation that the area not be rezoned to RRC. We feel like a rural residential zoning is the appropriate zoning for the property. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. I think we have all the information currently from council, from the administration as well as from the presenter at this point. So at this point in our public hearing, we'll turn to members of council who have any questions or comments. And before I do that, I should just note for anyone watching at home, we are not taking any action or vote this evening. We're just receiving information from the proposed developer as well as the administration. And at a future date, council will be having a vote on this issue, but this evening we're just taking in that information. So I'll turn to members of council if they have any questions or comments for either Mr. Atiyah and his representatives or Ms. Heller. Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Well, I certainly have concerns about the environmental impact. I'm just curious, because you spoke often about the need for affordable housing, and obviously if individuals are going to be between 70 and 75 years of age living there, I would assume they're going to be on a fixed income. So I'm just wondering, what will be the average cost per month of your units, and what will that include or exclude?
Sure. Good question, Councilwoman. First of all, I just want to respond to the sensitivity of the development site. If there are permitted uses on this site, a church is a permitted use, single family homes are a permitted use. So if I match up and put a church in here, I could still consume the same level of disturbance as what, maybe actually more. So if a church goes on this site, or if I build 10 single family homes. So the disturbance we feel is less than what is permitted by right putting in the independent living because we're going up four stories. The sensitivity, if you guys deny this project, which you're right to or not, we're still going to develop the site. There's still going to be disturbance. So I just want to make sure the board understands that the MPT allows me to develop this site. Okay, so something's going to go here. Number two. Our rates at Salton Valley Manor are $19.95 for an independent living studio and $24.95 for a one bedroom. And then our two bedroom units are $29.95. Okay, for independent living rates. That includes all the utilities. It includes housekeeping once a week. It includes all three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner served included in that. It includes chauffeur service to events. We go out, we take our residents out to the casino, we take them out to bingo, we take them out to get them around the promenade shops, we drive them around. And also includes lawn care, all the exteriors. So it's basically one fee that we're providing for you. Medications are, you have to handle your own. If not, we'll have a little clubhouse for medical treatment we'll subcontract with a doctor, a geriatric doctor to do visits on our residents once a week and just do blood pressure screening, sugar testing, and all that. Our rates are so affordable, we beat Country Meadow. We beat them. We're 20 to 30% more affordable than any other independent living facility in the region. And most of our residents that come that have fixed incomes realize this is the base rent. There's no extra charges. Even in our personal care side, we've been known to have no extras. It's here's your rent, and that's it. The only time you will get a rent increase if you start to have a change in condition. You need medical, you need care, you need personal care. And that's, when I provide medical personal care on this location, they're mostly independent living. And a comparison also that Bill Berman had mentioned, democracy apartments in Center City, okay? Don't be high rises. That's right next to the Monocacy, okay? And I know it floods once in a while, but I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful place to live because of the Monocacy. You got the, all those towers that are built in your Center City are beautiful because of the Monocacy stream and all that Moravian of campus. So water's beautiful. So I think we get the same sort of area, but in the suburbs. So I think, Grace, I answered your question. We're very affordable on it as far as independent living. Councilwoman.
Mr. Callahan?
So I what was the average cost, though, of the units in this proposed building?
You could say $27.95 would be the cost for the average cost, and that includes all your three meals, all your utilities. It includes your housekeeping, activity events once in a while. So it's you could average out at $27.95 per month for an independent living. Average out. That's between one bedroom, councilman, and the two bedrooms. So that we average about $27.95, you could say.
And you know, if you don't notice, I understand. But what are the? Do you have any idea what it costs at Kirkland Village and Moravian Village?
I do. Kirkland Village, they're new independent living. One bedrooms are $59.95. That's Kirkland Village for one bedroom, $59.95. It's $2,000 more than us, and there's also a buying fee. Moravian Village, okay, they're around $49.95, okay, for independent living, and that's also 2,000 mortars, and there's also a buy-in impact fee of $80,000 to $100,000 is your buy-in fee. So Country Meadows, which is a private pay, that's in Bethlehem Township, they're up in the $49,000 to $5,000 range. We're given, you know, because we're family run, we don't have CEOs sitting around a desk and making $500,000 a year. I make $140,000 a year. That's my salary, you know. And I run all the show. So we don't have all these high payer CEOs running our company. My wife's hands on administrator. My daughter's an administrator. We work hands on. We don't have big corporate headquarters. So we give affordable rates, and that's why we've been successful for 22 years in our business. We just keep our overhead low. And we give good, affordable, blue-collar, independent living. We're not the white-collar, super wealthy. We don't serve that population. It's just not what we go after.
So I know there's been a lot of discussion about it being in the flood plain versus in the flood zone. As of last month's flood, what the property? I'm not talking about the total property is how many acres?
10 acres.
10 years. And you, Ms. Heller, he has the right now to build 10 houses on that property right now?
I haven't done an analysis, but he could probably build single, 10, single family detached dwellings. That's probably, close to, the maximum that he could build, yes.
I don't know who she answers, whether it's Ms. Heller or Mr. T. If the homes were built, does that property have to be built up? Would we, the city, require him to build up the property? Mr. T, if you build this property, if we allow this, how high do you have to? Are you bringing dirt in from another site?
Well, it's good, Councilman Callahan, good question. we're going to raise the floor of the grade by law has to be 1 foot above the floodway. That's what the federal government says. You have to be 1 foot. Well, we're designing it 2 feet above. We're going up to, so your first floor, where you live, has to be 2 feet above the 100-year floodplain. So we're above it. We will be above it. And by law, we're going to build it. Now,
how far above it?
2 feet. Two feet above the floodplain is where you're going to be.
You're going to have your first floor where they walk in 2 feet above the 100-year floodplain.
Correct.
Is it like that now, or you have to remediate the site?
We have to just raise the grade up a little bit in construction, and whether we use fill or we use concrete, but it's, and councilman, our building footprint is so small. Like I think it's about, Gene, what is our square foot? If Gene could add in, our building footprint is so small. It's like, Gene, is Gene on? What is our building footprint, just the building?
You.
Building footprint?
Robert, you unmuted him.
It's by 83 feet 11.
What's the total square footage about?
So we're at 182 feet 6 by 83 feet 11, call that 84 feet. It's about 15,330 square feet footprint.
Right, so 15,000 square feet, you could say. Now, if I got 10, that's 15,000 square feet. If I got 10 single family homes and built a 2,000 square foot rancher, which is an average size ranch home, the 10 ranchers would have more of a building footprint than this building would have, because we're going up four stories. So the impact is less by building this independent living building if I put 2,000 square foot ranch homes. But most ranch homes that are being built now are like 3,000 to 4,000 square feet. They're huge. And which my neighbors across the street, they're twin homes. I think they're about 2,500 to 3,000 on one floor. So let's just say if I matched my neighbors across the street but built singles, 3,000 square feet, that we'd be double the size of concrete in the ground in the foundations if I built single family homes over here. It's like, it's less impact, you know, and we're going to be less, there's going to be less impact with this project on that site than if I were putting in permitted singles home or put a church in there. You're going to have less impact with our project, and you're going to have, you know, 75, 80-year-old people living in your neighborhood. I think that's a good thing.
I agree with you on that. I live literally right next to the Raven Towers. I'm the last condo on Main Street. And, some of them like it, and some of them don't. They wish they were out in like a more rural area. And, as you said, there's not too many places to go for them. And that's the shame of it. So, I'm kind of torn between this. I mean, I'll be honest. I did not know that you had the ability to build, up to 10 single family homes over there. Which kind of changes the calculation on my part. So, Mr. T, I like many other people on council don't agree with some of the proposals that you came forward on the Dewberry site. But I will tell you this: this is probably one of your better projects that you put forward. I know that it is in an area that other residents don't want it right now, but I also have a heart for older people who are looking to be in a in a quieter area other than downtown Bethlehem. So I still have other questions about this, and I guess I got some more research, to do on this before we have to vote on it. But I guess my last question is, so the flooding that happened last month, what happened, how high did that flooding get at the proposed site?
Well, it's a good question, Brian. I wasn't there, but it went up pretty high. It covered a large portion of the site. But water, okay, you know, the most valuable properties are by water. Okay, you notice in the world. I mean, if you live by the ocean, it's expensive. You know, if you live by a riverfront, it's expensive. This is high quality living here. Once or two times, a couple times a year, you get water goes up. You expect it. You know it. In fact, your car's out. Our residents here, we know of the flood or a hurricane coming on the East Coast. We can move them over to my other campus. They can park their cars over there. That we'll protect them. It's our job. We own the campus. They're my tenants that I protect. I am responsible for these residents 24 hours. We have security. We watch them. We have medical alert pendants, which I didn't even tell you about. They all have medical alert pendants in their rooms. And if they're confused or something's going on, they'll press the medical alert button, and it's gonna ring a bell over at the main campus. We can send a nurse over and check on our rent. That sense of security living in an independent living campus, nobody has. We do that. Our independent living on our campus, every resident has a medical alert button in their room that they keep in their hand. They press a button, and we send somebody over to check on. So I mean, the sensitivity of this project is beautiful. I mean, it's like. The being living next to the Monocacy, I mean, it's Salkin Creek, but living next to Salkin Creek, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, it's relaxing. Okay, we get a hurricane once or twice a year, you know, water comes up, okay, back up, park your car at Salkin and move over and just watch the first floor. We're 2 feet above it, and so it's just like if I build 10 single family homes there, those 10 people, if I build 3-bedroom units in the 10 single family, I'll have 30 bedrooms. Okay? And that's by right. Okay, those same people have to worry about the floodplain also. And those 3 bedrooms, okay, you're going to have 30 people to, you know, the trade-off and impact between the 10 single family homes I can build and the independent living, we're probably a little bit more people, but it's retired people, it's people that need care, it's residents of the city that want to live in a quiet, enjoyable neighborhood. So,
what's the minimum age that that's allowed to move in there?
Well, we allow like 65 and up. Like if somebody had a stroke and they're 65, we'll bring them in. But our average age for our independents is 75 up to like 85, 90 years old. Brian, you should see. We have people moving in from the Jersey at Salkin. Rates are so cheap, and the independents are moving in, and we don't have no buying fees. If you don't like our services, councilman, you leave. It's a month to month, so we're on our toes. Our food is good, our care is good, and people stay. You know, and people enjoy it. So I mean, we offer that. And one other thing I wanted to mention is that the idea of Center in Dewberry. I built that site originally for an assisted living and originally, okay, 15 years ago before the last recession hit. The psych hospital operating was not me. I don't operate psych hospitals. This was a Acadia. These were traded companies going over. It's like, I've always been compatible with the city of Bethlehem. The Aldi's, they're tenants. I'm a developer. I offered a site to them because my assisted living market at that time didn't work. I never threatened the city. I love the city. And that use was not my use. I didn't bring a psych hospital into the city. I had a potential buyer, Acadia, publicly traded, come to him wants to do build psych. I don't know how to operate and build psych hospitals. I don't operate and build treatment centers. It's not my business. I'm a developer and I offer it that way. We are healthcare providers. We're the biggest personal care home provider in Lehigh Valley, but now we're building independent living because the baby boomers are not ready for personal care yet, but they're ready for independent living. We know the market is there.
Can you guys go to page 20 in the proposal, Gene?
And page 20 shows the elevation of the building, and it also shows a profile cut through Creek Road that shows the evergreen tree buffer.
So you're telling me that the sight line is the dotted line, correct?
The sight line is a dotted line that is tilted up from the grade, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So where is the creek from there? Is the creek to the right of that building?
The creek is a good distance to the right of that building, yes.
It's not over.
Yes.
And the residents that are complaining are living to the left of the tree line on the left, correct?
That's correct, across Creek Road.
There's six twin homes, Councilman, six people that are in our backyard. And I think one of them is a rental. And six people in their backyards are going to look out at this building. Six of that whole twin home community. There's only six that look, and only their rear yards look out at us in there. So it's like, okay, now you got six neighbors that are concerned with that sight line that you propose. But it's all covered with trees. Plus, we're going to buffer it. You know, it's like, I think the neighbors have a legitimate right to complain. I think ultimately you're going to have 40 independent living residents that will be more happy living there than the six people that are upset about looking up and out over the trees. You know, it's like,
how far is the existing apartment complex down there away from the proposed development?
The existing apartment complex.
Yeah, the other big buildings that are down there.
Well, the other building right next door to that, Brian, right next door is a four-story apartment complex that J.D. Riley built. That council approved, council rezoned for them. So they moved into a community and they saw a four-story building, you know, knowing it was there. And they know what was there. They moved next to it at that time. Being that upset because the new one's coming in. This whole corner is a high density corner between Society Hills and the other old 55, the apartment complex. And these units are on twin homes. They're almost 40 feet high. They're two story twin homes. They're luxury twin homes. They're 40 feet high. I think. Gee, what are the neighboring luxury twin homes? What's the maximum height of those buildings, you think?
I would say that they're probably more along the lines of, you know, 35 feet, you know, but because they have tall story heights and a walkout basement, you know, two-story plus walkout basement plus steep.
So they're huge. Even our neighbors that are complaining about our height are sitting in a 30, 35-foot height at the top of their building. Like, I don't see a legitimacy between their complaint except, you know, they just don't want this open space. They don't want nothing going there. I think, you know. And look,
I appreciate your answers, and I'm done with my questions as of now, or before now. So, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Bill Erdman. I was wondering if I could jump in for a moment on a couple of questions Brian raised. You questioned the film material and whether it be brought off site. As I said earlier in the presentation, we will have to mitigate the impact of the construction. And I should point out that the parking lot and the building will be 2 feet above the floodplain, not just the building, so that you will not have even the flooding of the parking lot, which I know would be a concern, because of evacuation and so forth. But as it relates to the cut fill, it may be necessary to remove enough material elsewhere on the site to mitigate the impact of the floodplain on the floodplain, such that the fill material would be on site. So there hasn't been a cut fill analysis done, but there's good chance that all the material necessary to raise the grade where the parking lot is could come on site. One of the things I just wanted to clarify, I know there's been a lot of discussion about the floodplain, and I recognize there's a desire or a goal to not encroach on the floodplain, but I have to point out that the zoning ordinance permits an encroachment in the floodplain. It specifically permits it and provides for necessary mitigation, so I would submit that between that and the necessary environmental approvals, we will have to respect the environment as part of the approval of this project. The final thing I would point out in comparing the two uses, and having been around this business for over 40 years, we all know that when there's single family residential units, the encroachments that occur over time are unbelievable in terms of people just taking more and more land. I would suggest that an entity like this is going to be more responsible. What you see is what's going to be built. You put 10 single-family homes on that property, and it can be done. You have the issue of whether people begin to encroach and impact the floodplain even greater than what would result from this, because of the fact that, as I said, people will take over land that's not really theirs. They'll begin building stuff. Yes, you can enforce it, but I've been around long enough to know that gets very, very nasty over time when you're trying to enforce things on your residents where they've taken liberties with a piece of property. So I would say, in addition to the impervious cover, there's consideration of what 10 single-family homes might do in the long run in terms of the impacts, environmental impacts, floodplain or otherwise. So just a couple comments to try to clarify a few things that Brian raised.
I appreciate those comments. I guess all of us have some hard thinking and doing the next days ahead, and I like the Mr. T. I respect your work with all the elderly. My father-in-law died a couple of years ago, and he in the last years of his life, it was very expensive for him, to find any type of amenities for him to live in, and he ended up having to go to the Lehigh County assisted living place, and that was not exactly an ideal situation. So I appreciate all your comments tonight, and I have some homework to do in the next 2 days. So thank you all for all your information.
Thank you, Councilman. If I could ask Council, I'd love to be able to tour you the site, to walk it, if it's legal for us to walk the site. At your convenience, we set up a tour, just walk that neighborhood and walk the 10 acres and understand the tranquility and the serenity, the peacefulness of that living down there. It's a wow location. If we could set up before you actually make the vote to just give me a half hour of your time to walk around there and get a feel for that neighborhood and understand the neighbors' reasonable complaints. They're allowed to raise objections and walk the street. And then walk the site and just feel the neighborhood and look at the apartment complex, drive down into the borough, and Salkin Park is across the street, which is a beautiful park. And it's not a Bethlehem Park, it's a Salkin Park. But it's maintained by Borough Hellertown, I think. So just to feel the neighborhood, the new bridge they just put in there, once you walk in, you see what goes on down there, you say, it's the perfect spot. I think I'd like to be able to walk council at your convenience, even if it's a one-on-one with all you. I could do it,
Thank you for the invitation, Mr. Atiyya. I'm sure that invitation made the hair on Solicitor Spurk's neck stand up a little bit. We have some laws that prohibit us getting together as a group to talk about issues like that. If any members of council were interested in a private tour, they could reach out to you, and that would be permissible. But as a group, we're not able to get together in that regard.
Well, thank you,
Mr. Collins.
I would welcome. My concern is the timeline. Is when does this come back to council?
First reading will be scheduled for the first Tuesday in October, which is the 6th of October. So, we have 5 Tuesdays, and so you've got 3
right.
weeks.
Mr. T, please send an email to the city clerk, and I'll be in touch with you, and I would like to take a look at it before I make any final decisions.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Daly. And I offer to any other council members, we'll send our email, my contact information, to walk in the site one-on-one, and at your convenience, I can meet you in the morning, evening, and show you, feel the site before you vote on it. I think I deserve that respect. And I think once you're down there, you realize it's a peaceful place to live. It's a great place. Thank you, Councilman. We'll send our contact information over to the city solicitor or city clerk.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other council members with questions or comments? I had something for Ms. Heller. There was a little discussion about some of the other permitted uses that are currently allowed. And I don't anticipate you to be able to answer this 100% accurately this evening, but hopefully you could have some more information for us before the next meeting. And that was the talk about 10 single-family homes or a church being built on that property. Obviously, if that is accurate, there's still a process that would have to be followed to get approval for that. So if you could give us a little bit more information about what that could look like as far as navigating through planning and zoning, and what some of the requirements might be for a project like the two that were mentioned of a church and 10 single family homes. Thank you. At this point in our public hearing, we will now turn to public comment. I have three names previously signed up, so I'll call those folks first. First is Robert Ashford, and then Sheila Cummings and Beth Barron. After that, I'll open up the line for anyone else who would like to call in. The number to do that when the time comes is 610-997-7963. But I'm going to call those three folks first for comment.
Hello,
this is Beth from City Council.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, if you could give your name and address for the record and give your comments to Council.
Sure. Robert Ashford, 2059 Forge Run, Bethlehem, 18015. Yeah, I live directly across from the proposed site. I think one of the things Council has to really look at is that Mr. Tien has been completely disingenuous. 10 homes being built there, like they're asking for variances. FEMA would not even allow homes under insurance regulation to be, you would need insurance for those homes. But when I moved to this home in 2018, before I bought the home, I actually called, I think at the time, Susan Borzak was the zoning officer. We discussed the zoning on the property. I wanted to know what the status of that land was. Could it be developed? What could be developed there? And she explained to me that it was very unlikely anything could be built there because of the floodplain. I would ask council really take a look at the flooding pictures there that were sent. There's video as well as pictures on what's called the SaveCreekRoad.org site that was put up. That property, the entire property, was completely underwater. The home that is there now on the property was completely surrounded by water and flooded. The complete driveways. They mentioned that the buffer, that they'll have trees there as a buffer. Again, very disingenuous. All these homes have porches that look directly onto that property, so you would completely see that home. The rezoning cannot alter the essential character of the property. And when Mr. Tia says it's only six homes, we have sent to council a petition of over 700 responses of people that have requested that this not be rezoned, and that the other submission by Mr. Tia for 10 homes and asking for variances for 10 homes not be granted as well. The John Vivian, who is the attorney that represents many of the neighbors in Steeber Mills, which is across from them, we'll talk about a number of the legal issues, but just as a resident, I purchased this property knowing the zoning and should not be affected by someone that purchased a property for a dramatically lower cost and has been known to do this around the valley, where he buys land on the cheap and then tries to get a rezone for his own benefit. And taxpayers should not, at the taxpayer's expense, have for one person the financial benefit of this rezoning. That's my comment.
Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
Next on our list is Sheila Cummings.
Hello?
Hello, this is Bethel City Council.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. If you could please give your name and address for the record and give your comments to Council.
My name is Sheila Cummings, and I live at 1919 Creek Road. I'll try to keep this under 5 minutes. My husband and I live in the 16-acre parcel immediately adjacent to this property to the north. Mr. Atiyah references several of the higher density properties in the area, but he completely forgets to mention the rest of Creek Road. As longtime Bethlehem property owners and residents, we stand with many of our neighbors, including the ones on the petition, in opposition to this proposal. I'm not going to repeat stuff about the floodplain that I don't think is essential because it's been stated already. I will say, adjacent to this property are the Hellertown wetlands, the historic Heller Homestead, the old mill house associated with an early mill whose remains are on the property in question and for which the development across the street was named, Fever Mill. John Fever owned the mill, and several other historic homes along the Creek Road corridor. Large areas of vegetation on this property are the same as in the adjacent publicly held wetlands of Hellertown, and the City of Bethlehem's natural features map indicates the presence of wetlands that stretch along this property and ours. Section 604 of the Pennsylvania MPC states that the provisions of zoning ordinances shall be designed to promote, protect, and facilitate, among other things, the preservation of the natural, scenic, and historic values in the environment, as well as preservation of forests, wetlands, and floodplains. This property sits at the confluence of the city of Bethlehem, Hellertown, and Lower Saucon Township. And we feel that what's done at this property has multi-municipal impacts. Rezoning for higher density adds a burden to city services such as fire and police, particularly at this southernmost tip of the city. Even if the developer proposes to build, quote, above the floodplain, first of all, any fill, and I don't think that you are allowed to use wetland soils to fill to raise the property, you will be directly impacting all of us who are downstream. And even if you build above the floodplain, people occupying the structures could become stranded during a flooding event. Traffic challenges in this area are already well known to the city and its municipal neighbors, and any increase in housing units would contribute to greater hazards to all. This is a 14-foot wide country road. There will be a lot of employees that Mr. Atiyah does not mention in his traffic impacts. Some of the 400 employees that he has will be coming down Creek Road. 20 years ago, members of Bethlehem's administration had occasion to become familiar with this area due to the development pressure on the west side of the road, which ended up being Fever Mill, which we appreciate. At that time, it was publicly recognized in verbiage built into Article 1310 of the city zoning code that, quote, this specific area is uniquely situated and is rural in nature and having historical significance to the city. These historic and rural characteristics are under increasing pressure, and they are treasured by the residents of this community and others who utilize this corridor. As a sidebar, my husband is a tree farmer, and we do a lot of screening of properties, and you are not going to screen a 40-foot building with 30-foot evergreens that do not start out at 30 feet, especially to the uphill Fever Mills residents not living in the floodplain. Also, it's not Saucon Park that sits adjacent to this property. It's Water Street Park, and you would know that if you live here in our neighborhood, and it is a sensitive area. The Lehigh Valley Planning Commission has recommended that regional development should, quote, maintain character by preserving environmental, historic, and scenic assets that have attracted many to our region. It also specifically promotes sensible development that mitigates climate change. Look what's going on in the world. To allow higher density zoning or additional building in this setting is completely deaf to the fact that communities worldwide are desperately trying to reclaim and restore habitats and wetlands and reduce encroachment into river ecosystems and floodplains. This proposed zoning change is completely inconsistent with both the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and the City of Bethlehem's comprehensive plan. It is inconsistent with the character of the surrounding area, and there was no error made when this neighborhood was zoned rural residential. Any zoning change or variance made to allow greater density will alter the essential character of a neighborhood already under pressure, and it would be a detriment to the public welfare of all who use Creek Road for either residence or recreation. This includes the Lehigh University and visiting university track teams. We really should take a long view when considering the stewardship of that land and not make short-sighted concessions for one person's desire to increase profits by degrading the environment. Please vote no to any change to zoning or variance request for this property. Not doing so would do a disservice to the people who appreciate or live in the Creek Road community. I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Next name on the list is Beth Barron. This is Beth from City Council. If you could please give your name and address for the record and give your comments to Council.
Sure. My name is Elizabeth Barron. I live at 637 Hamilton Avenue in Bethlehem. I'm speaking on behalf of the Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Council tonight. We submitted a letter in strong opposition of the development. The Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Council strongly recommends that a variance not be granted for the reasons stated below. The property is located in the 100-year floodplain, an area susceptible to flooding and crucial to stormwater management. In keeping with the city's current mandate under the Municipal Separate Stormwater Sewer System, MS4 program, the existing property is mostly undeveloped in a mostly undeveloped state, acts to allow and retain stormwater and provide the filtration system for pollutants contained in stormwater. As climate change causes rain events to become more frequent and severe, allowing floodplains to function and absorb floodwaters is critical and is in keeping with the goals of the climate action plan that the city is currently creating. This natural stormwater control system is particularly important because the site borders Stocking Creek, a Class A trophy trout stream. The proposed development would add impervious area to the property, including access roads and driveways. Contaminants from parking areas could be carried to Stocking Creek in stormwater runoff. Large volumes of fast-flowing stormwater can scour stream banks and destroy riparian buffers, which shade and thereby cool the water, as well as provide unique wildlife habitat. The property itself appears to be part of a wildlife corridor. Stocking Creek is a valuable resource to Bethlehem City. Residents and visitors enjoy fishing, picnicking, walking, and biking along its banks in nearby Stocking Park. We advise the Bethlehem Zoning Hearing Board and City Council not to allow a variance that has the potential to negatively impact Stocking Creek and increase flooding, including to the proposed dwellings. Thank you for your consideration, and this is submitted by Lynn Rothman, the chair of the EAC, and the rest of the EAC members.
Thank you for your comments. At this point, I'll open up the line to anyone who'd like to make comment to Bethlehem City Council on the public hearing at hand, which is the 2105 Creek Road rezoning. This is the only subject matter Council will be accepting comment at this time. The number to do so is 610-997-7963.
Councilman Walter, can I speak a little bit, a few minutes?
No, you may not. At this point, we're accepting public comment from members of the public.
Okay, sure.
If anyone would like to make comment, this will be the last call for the 2105 Creek Road rezoning. The number to do so. Hello, Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello,
Mr. Vivian, if you could please mute your YouTube stream in the background.
Alright, is that better?
Yes, thank you. If you could please give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council.
Sure. My name is John R. Vivian Jr. I'm a resident at 2053 Forge Run in the city of Bethlehem. I'm also a member of the HOA board here at Stever Mills, and I am representing the board as well as myself as a citizen. I submitted to the Planning Commission and had hand delivered to council a letter from a colleague of mine, Brian Monahan, that was submitted at the Planning Commission below. It's a rather complete submission. The first note I would make is that the petition that's attached as the last exhibit to that has now been updated and has, I think, well over 700 signatures. Mr. Ashley spoke to that. I want to talk first about the law and how I view this legally. We don't use the term spot zoning anymore, but essentially, that's what this request comes down to. A rezoning request, as you know, under law is very, very different from getting a variance. And the courts have unanimously said since Shuttle in 1975 in the Commonwealth of Court on out that one cannot rezone as a guise of not being able to get a variance. And it's very unlikely that you're going to be able to get a variance on this property, so you decide to rezone it. The other thing that's clear is that people have talked about the financial impact. And as I pointed out in my letter very quickly, Mr. Atiyah or whoever the Creek Investors are purchased this property January 8, 2018 for $215,000. They then listed it for sale 1 year later, approximately year, 12-19-19, for $799,000. And in that listing, it's curious. You can look it up. It's on the net. There's a plan for 5 twin homes, which is a variance that he's now applied for and before another for the zoning board. So, look, I too love seniors. I guess I am a senior now, unfortunately. But it's not about that, and it's not about good deeds in the community. It's about whether or not legally things should go away from a well-thought-out zoning ordinance and grant specific zoning just because he has a problem with the property that he knew he had when he purchased. The second thing is that there's been a lot of talk about what's in the flood zone, what's in the floodway, blah, blah, blah. I attached the permit map from FEMA. The entire area is designated as a special hazard flood area. That raises a number of issues. Number one is insurance. You're not going to be able to get insurance in there for a number of reasons. The argument I heard today about putting 10 single homes on it is very interesting to me because you're only allowed to put in there, even with a variance, a certain amount of homes on a certain amount of acreage. And we're acting like the 10 acres is all developable. It's not. You can't put 10 homes in there and create that kind of footprint. It just won't work. The other thing is the FEMA specifically, as does the city code, absolutely prohibit any medical facilities in these types of areas. FEMA does it for two reasons. Number one, the access during flooded times is not good for a medical facility. And equally as important, medical facilities have in them drugs that are necessary to treat people or other toxic substances which during the flood get released into the water. I've got a complete section on environmental impact. And it can't be understated. I mean, look, there's even an eagle that hunts in that area now, which is up further on the Bethlehem part of the bike path. I've seen egrets over there, ospreys, the deer run through there. It's a beautiful area, and here's the problem. If you develop it, there's a problem with the impervious surface. I don't care what amount of it you're covering. If you take a look at the videos and pictures of the last flood that occurred here, and it's happened a number of times, you wouldn't walk to the creek, as Mr. G claimed. You could swim to the creek. You could probably kayak down there where it was. I really urge you to look at those videos because the problem is the water coming from upstream off of Silver Creek and Saugan, I mean, That looked like the Delaware River from New Gristmill, if you know where that is, all the way down, running through that property. The home that sits on it now has been flooded a number of times over the year. So it just can't take any more water. It's interesting because I had requested objector status, and I assume I was given that. And under normal circumstances, I would have been able to, and I won't use the word cross-examination, but I would be given the right to question these engineers and some of the things they said. I will point this out. To say that these are older people who don't really drive their cars, discount visitors, discount service people to come to the place, discounts his own employees, as the other woman pointed out. Traffic is already heavy enough there, and as the city knows, there are speed bumps there. It's a country road. The Lehigh students use it. Everybody walks it. You have to be careful driving on that road. Increasing the traffic more just is not going to be a help. The other thing about putting a development in there is there's a mill race that runs along. It looks like a big ditch. Runs between Creek Road and the property he's seeking to develop. In order to put driveways through here, whether you're doing the 520 he wants to do by zoning, or whether you rezone it for this, it's going to have to be a substantial area. And what you're going to have to do is either bridge that or block that mill race up, which is, and that acts kind of as a storm sewer runoff. And despite that being there, Creek Road still flooded out last time to some extent and had to be closed by the city of Bethlehem. So now you're going to take away that drainage, you're going to raise it, and you're going to have to divert that storm water off of those impervious surfaces. Right now it's planned for a 60-car lot, and you get some of the problems that the previous person commented on. Thermal effect from the cars, runoffs, and now my understanding is you're going to put utility somehow on the ground floor or someplace. That's crazy. The water doing what it does. The number of pedestrians on that road are incredible. There's a reason why the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, I believe the borough of Hellertown and Lower Sonkin are not favored development. Lower Sonkin sent a letter, I believe Attorney Elliott sent that into y'all. And for all those governing bodies, because it does have multi-municipal impact. And I get it, and I understand Mr. IT's claim that it's a beautiful place and it's a lot of other things. He can run meals in and do other things. He can do that on other locations also. And to compare it to Monocacy, where that is, or where any of the other developments are, they don't flood like this. None of them do. It's frankly dangerous, and without a real traffic study on that road, we wouldn't know anything. At the last planning meeting, I think the engineer had it down to 4 cars an hour on Creek Road. And, you know, I don't want to quote Samuel Clemens, but, you know, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. I want to preserve my objection and not being able to question, as an objector should be given the right, his engineer and his architect, because there were a number of things said that simply are just not true, particularly with traffic, particularly with building and flood zones. I have a number of exhibits. I would point out that Salkin Creek is one of the few A-plus, if not only A-plus, trout stream in Pennsylvania that actually runs through an urban area. It used to be one of the greatest natural brown trout fisheries in the state, and it's been coming back. And a lot of municipalities went to a lot of money to take care of that. They got rid of the old zinc mill, if you remember the zinc plant, which was poisoning the creek. It's pristine. And, you know, you can't dig up fill on that and bury that floodplain. When you do, it's going to be an environmental disaster, and it will be too late when it happens. And it isn't about 6 residents complaining about their view being affected. You know, we're not in a floodplain. They are in a floodplain. I look at Bethlehem and I see all the brown areas that have been renovated, vacant buildings downtown, which I think, I agree with Ms. Seller, are better suited for seniors. Seems to me what happened here is we're getting away from the wall and what rezoning requires. It is my belief that under the law, rezoning this parcel just for the benefit of Mr. Atia's project is flatly against the law under Schoenel and its precedent. With that, I would only say that if Mr. Attia gets to do a rebuttal, as he's requested to do, that so do all the public. As an objector, I'm supposed to be under the MPC on equal footing with him, and I realize these are trying times, but he's had his say, and if he's going to bring up other things, then I think the public should be able to comment again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vivian. And I should note, we do have a 5-minute time limit, which I did not enforce and did not make mention of previous to Mr. Vivian, but we should let all future callers know and speakers tonight, we do have a 5-minute time limit, and we still are accepting comment to City Council on the public hearing of 2105 Creek Road rezoning. Good evening, Bethlehem City Council.
Good evening, this is Lynn Rothman at 870 Wofford Lane. I will be very brief. I just wanted to point out, as the previous caller just wrote.
Ms. Rothman, you're cutting in and out. I'm not sure if there's anything you can do to try to acquire a stronger phone service.
Is this better?
We can hear you, yes, thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to point out, as the previous caller alluded to, Creek Road has been flooding itself in storms this summer, and that if any residents have a medical emergency during a storm event, they may be inaccessible to emergency vehicles, and this could create a safety hazard for the development. And I thank you for your patience this evening and taking all these comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rothman. Still accepting comment at 610-997-7963 to Bethlehem City Council on the public hearing at hand, which is the rezoning of 2105 Creek Road. This will be the last opportunity for anyone who'd like to make comment on the sole subject of the rezoning at 2105 Creek Road. The zoning map amendment ordinance will be placed on the October 6, 2020 council agenda for first reading and a vote. The public hearing is adjourned. Thank you all for joining us this evening.
Thank you, council, for your time. We appreciate it.
Moving on with our agenda this evening, you're free to leave the meeting unless you'd like to be part of viewing the rest of council's meeting. You can do so on our YouTube stream. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeking approval of the minutes for August 4th, 2020. If there's no comments from council, the minutes will stand approved. Moving to first public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have one person previously signed up, Aaron Brady, who I will call to. If there is anyone else who'd like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening, they may do so after this call to
610-997-7963. Hello?
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello. Hi, my name is James Casper. I'm the husband of Erin Brizzi. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it tonight, so I'll be speaking on her behalf.
Okay, and I imagine you have the same address?
Yeah, 10 West Union Boulevard. Thank you.
Thank you. If you could please give your comments to council, we do have a 5-minute time limit.
Okay, thank you. I'll be very brief. been with the Bethlehem Parking Authority over several different issues and concerns and have received nothing except ambivalence, disdain, disregard. And we have noticed this from several residents who are the property owners and taxpayers in the city of Bethlehem. Two of the main points we have is the allotment of street parking in the 2-hour metered area is 2 permits per unit. Well, when you have apartment buildings, they'll issue more permits than there are actual physical parking spots on the street, regardless of what their study might say. Parking is a constant competition, and the 2-hour parking zoning does not benefit the actual residents who own the properties. The other problem we have is that besides paying the taxes in the city of Bethlehem for our property, we must also pay additional fees of $10 a year per vehicle for the privilege of parking in front of the building which we own. And besides that, I also purchase a parking pass for a parking deck at $70, so I pay close to $1,000 a year to park in front of a property that we own. The problem that I've had is that I've been going to the parking authority to try to have some resolution or speak to somebody, and I have had nothing. So I'm asking that the city council put in consideration to have a community or a resident advocate on the board and be a voting board member of the Bethlehem Parking Authority to actually have the issues of citizens and residents in the city addressed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is anyone else would like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? The number to do so is 610-997-7963. I'll also accept. Do you have any other second comment? Anyone else would like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? I'll also accept comment at this time for first or second comment on any subject being voted on, as well as any additional subject. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. Last call for public comment. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Kiko Tutsura Kramer, ASLA. Principal for additional geotechnical services related to the South New Street Streetscape Enhancement Project. The estimated completion date is December 31st, 2020. The cost is $10,500, and there are no anticipated renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with LB Industries, Inc. for work related to the wastewater treatment plant settling tank improvements. The term of the contract is 240 days from the notice to proceed to substantial completion and 270 days from the notice to proceed to final completion. The cost is $1,526,759. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, stating the 2021 budget pension minimum municipal obligation for police, fire, and the Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System.
This is for information only. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Kale of Fort Myers, Inc. for work related to the Bethlehem Wastewater Treatment Plant Effluent Pumps. The term of the contract runs 120 days from the notice to proceed. The cost is $177,327, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution and associated amendment to a use permit agreement. The permittee is Mount Airy Neighborhood Association and the sub-permittee is Fagley Enterprises, Inc. The event is the Westside Farmers Market. The amendments add the following dates to the original UPA: October 17, 2020, October 24th, and October 31st, 2020. The agreement covers the Bethlehem Rose Gardens.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda, Communication 6H.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is Chris Kindlemark. The agreement covers Thursdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. The premise is First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First Street and Second Street.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda, Communication 6L.
A memorandum from Matthew Deschler, Assistant City Solicitor, with a proposed resolution authorizing the mayor and controller to execute a lease with New Singular Wireless PCS LLC, doing business as AT&T Mobility. The proposed lease, which is also attached, governs the installation and operation by New Singular Wireless of small cell wireless installations in the city.
The proposed approval resolution will be placed on the October 6th council agenda. Communication 6J.
A memorandum from Sandra Steidel, Director of Purchasing, with an attached list of vehicles that would be placed for sale in an online auction to be held within the next 60 days.
If council has no objections to the property listed, the items will be added to the online auction. If council has objections to or would like to discuss anything, those items can be removed for future discussion. Or is there anything council would like to discuss on that list of the 2020 vehicle auction? Seeing none, the communication to the purchasing director of the city has no objections, and to the auction listed on that. That will be added to the October 6th agenda. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Evans?
Thank you, President Walter. And I have three reports on behalf of the mayor. First of all, on Friday, the city announced a retirement incentive. Council was notified via email. Last time this was offered was 4 years ago. At that time, it involved employees age 55 or older at the end of the year with 5 years of employment. This time around, we moved it to 60 years of age and 10 years of employment. 51 employees were eligible. Meetings were held today, both at 9 o'clock and 2 o'clock for Q&A sessions. And all 51 of those employees will have until October 26th to make a decision on that incentive. We will deliver a report at that time. Number two, announcement from our Director of Community Economic Development, Alicia Carner. The City of Bethlehem is initiating planning for the 2021 Annual Action Plan as a part of its application for funding to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The Community Development Block Grant for fiscal year 2021 is estimated at $1.3 million, and home funds are estimated to be $400,000. Funds may be used to assist persons with low to moderate incomes, remove slums and blight, or address urgent needs. The first public hearing will be held tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. The public hearing will be conducted virtually using online meeting service. Meeting information is on the city's community development website. Additionally, the city was just informed it would be receiving an additional $649,643 in CDBG CARES Act funding. This is in addition to the $796,862,000 received earlier this year. So that's a total of nearly $1.45 million additional CDBG dollars this year. As we receive additional information on this latest round of CARES Act funding, we will be sure to keep council informed. Third, the mayor wanted to provide an update on the process of nominating a new police chief. We would like to share some information with council. That is well underway. The question of internal versus external search. This is an internal search. There are several reasons for that. The Bethlehem Police Department is not dysfunctional. There's not any corruption within the ranks. The fact that this is an appointed position. And the reality is that there will be a new mayor in 15 months that would very strongly limit candidates with no guarantee beyond that, whether they would have to move themselves or reroute a family. Time to learn, Bethlehem, with just over 1 year left. Third, the city to our west has tried a national search twice with Chief Kuhn and Chief Fitzgerald, and that experience provides very recent evidence that national service does not guarantee anything. Lastly, and maybe most importantly, third-class city code requires a position to be filled internally unless it is deemed there is no qualified candidate. We do have four impressive candidates who we will be interviewing this week. The mayor established a committee. He will lead the committee as Chief of Staff Alex Karras, the City Solicitor Bill Leeson, our Director of Human Resources Michelle Hockey, and me. In addition, we wanted to add a police expert, someone knowledgeable in law enforcement, someone that knows Bethlehem, but not a department insider, so they could remain objective. Mr. Ed Colon fit that mold perfectly and has agreed to join the committee. Mr. Colon grew up in Bethlehem in the projects, rose to lieutenant in the Pennsylvania State Police, and was hired to become chief of police for Upper Macungie. He built the department and recently retired. He has often attended our police ceremonies. He is highly respected and as a Latino will be able to provide insight through that lens. We are very happy to have him with us for these interviews. Last week, the mayor asked any member of the police force with the rank of lieutenant or higher that was interested in being considered for the role of chief to submit a cover letter and resume by noon on Friday. 9 members were eligible and 4 applied. All 4 have very strong credentials, references, and reputations. Interviews will take place this week. 2 are set up for Wednesday, 2 are set up for Friday. The candidates will be interviewed in the order that their paperwork was received. It is the mayor's decision, and it is his intent to make a decision and announcement on Monday. That would be this Monday, September 21st. The nomination would then be submitted to council by Thursday, October 1st, so it would be on the agenda for a council vote on Tuesday, October 6th. That's our timeline and process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, Bill number 20, 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 General Fund Budget. Bill 20-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 8B.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 21-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. New ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Part 13 of the Codified Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Zoning Ordinance, to enable grocery store uses by right in selected zoning districts of the City of Bethlehem. Bill 22-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Colon.
Any comments or discussion from members of council? Seeing none, I would just add and reiterate my point from the public hearing a couple weeks ago, and I can't speak for all of council, but I got the general consensus that this was the feeling, is that this is a wide overreach for the need of that specific site to change all of the zoning across the entire city in one of the largest zoning districts. I think is unnecessary and too much for this specific project. I think there could be a path forward with this specific use of the site through the zoning hearing board, and I would encourage the applicant to pursue that, but I will not be supporting the ordinance this evening. Is there any other discussion from members of council. Mr. Colon.
Thank you, President Waldron. My computer was acting up again when we were jumping into discussion here. But I won't be supporting this tonight. Just going off of the presentation the last time, I know we had heard from the parcel owner. I think he referenced Center Street as Route 512 highway. Anyone who drives from the Monocacy Creek into the city of Bethlehem will see there's really not any commercial development along that corridor. Center Street 512 is not Steffco Boulevard. You know, from the Monocacy Creek to when you get to the one-way at Elizabeth Avenue, you're really only looking at the orchard, the diner, Rudy's Diner, as you get closer to Liberty, and a few other small, very small bookstore commercial spaces. I think that the use of this land, well, one, the rezoning to allow the use of a grocery store citywide in that zone would be a little bit of an overreach, and a great overreach, as you alluded to. And also, I just don't think that is something that we need to allow as a permissible use for the zone citywide for something that doesn't match, in my opinion, the character of what that neighborhood looks like now. And saying that it's, you know, mirrors other similar tracts in the city, I just don't agree with that. So I won't be supporting this tonight either. Thank you.
Any additional comments from members of council? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Nay.
Mr. Ramsey Smith?
Nay.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Waldron?
Nay. The ordinance fails 06. There will be no second reading. Moving to resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller are hereby authorized to execute the grant award documents for funds to be received under the 2020 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant in the amount of up to $41,034. The grant will be used by the Bethlehem Police Department to continue improvements in computer hardware and software. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Kiko Tsutsura Kramer, ASLA, Principal for the Geotechnical Services related to the South New Street Streetscape Enhancement Project. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with LB Industries, Inc. for work related to the wastewater treatment tank settling improvements. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Kale of Fort Myers, Inc. for work related to the Bethlehem Wastewater Treatment Plant Effluent Pumps. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Permittee Mount Airy Neighborhood Association and sub-permittee Fagley Enterprises, Inc. for an amendment to the West Side Farmers Market Use Permit Agreement. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2020 Chris Kindle Mart. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. We'll accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10G through 10J as a group. Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Ms. Cramsey Smith. The clerk would call the roll on the motion.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. The clerk would please read the resolutions.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 217 East Church Street to install a freestanding ground-level patio and deck, 23 East Market Street to paint their home, 405 Center Street to remove a deck and on-deck arbor and install a new pergola, 405 Center Street to remove brick walkway, install a new one, patio with lights, and stain the existing fence. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. The pass is 6-0. New business? I'll be announcing a committee of the whole meeting for October 6th, 2020 at 6 p.m. The subject will be discussion of the administration's non-utility capital improvement plan. We will also be having an additional committee of the whole meeting on October 29th at 6 p.m. And the subject will be the discussion of the interaction between the police department, health bureau, Recreation and Department of Community and Economic Development. Dr. Van Wert?
On October 22nd, the Community Development Committee will be meeting at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. There will be two subjects that we're going to be discussing. The first is the Financial Accountability Incentive Reporting Hearing for 2020. In connection with Article 349 Economic Development Incentive Reporting and Evaluation Program. The second one will be the zoning ordinance text and map amendments related to the proposed creation of a student overlay district and including other provisions to address student housing and revising certain dimensional requirements and accessory structure regulations.
Thank you. Is there any other new business for members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Cologne, did your committee have a chance to meet, or is that later on this month?
That is the fourth Wednesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. So that would be a week from tomorrow at 6:30, and I will make sure by Friday or in advance of the meeting that all members of council are forwarded the agenda and the link for the go-to. We've been using GoToMeeting, no different than these meetings. So I'll make sure that all members of council have a copy of the agenda with the GoToMeeting instructions prior to that meeting for anyone who wishes to participate.
Thank you. And if Mr. Vadoni, if you could send out a list of dates, potential dates to my committee members, I'd appreciate it. following, obviously, the dates to be listed after the Human Resources, at least a week after the Human Resources Committee meets. So I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Human Relations Commission.
Correct. I'm sorry.
We'll get it right eventually. Is there any...
I might stop calling Mr. Reynolds president, too. My apologies, Mr. Walker, President Walker.
Any other new business for members of council? Mr. Klon?
Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to wish the administration luck in filling the now vacant chief of police position. Obviously, we are having a lot of discussions, meetings, groups getting together, community groups in different capacities to talk about policing. And obviously, this was unexpected, but I think it's, as we move forward, encouraging to know that we have a number of qualified candidates within the department. I think it's important for the continuity of the department for everyone to be familiar with their new chief, in my personal opinion. And I'm sure there's going to be a number of well-qualified people within the command staff of the department. I wish the committee all the best. If the last name sounded familiar at all to anybody, and the officer Mr. Evans alluded to, that is my uncle, Ed Cologne. Many of you already know my uncle, know my relationship with my uncle, and I know he is retired and enjoying retired life in the private sector, but volunteered to be part of the committee so that there was someone with actual police experience and experience as a chief of police to objectively review some of the candidates. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Evans, I'm just curious. So in all the future appointments of the police chief, it did come before council to vote on. Is this coming before us or no?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It's an appointed position, so the mayor's goal is to make the decision over the weekend. So the announcement will be Monday for the nomination that would need to then come to you for vote.
Thank you.
That will be at the next council meeting, which is October 6th.
Thank you. And I wish all the applicants luck, and I'm sure the committee will come up with an outstanding candidate. Thank you.
Any other new business this evening? Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
I just want to add to that. I just want to say thank you for the administration to handling a very delicate situation very well, and I wish all the best to everyone that's involved in the process of hiring a new police chief.
Thank you.
Thank you all. This meeting is adjourned.